Scripture reading this morning is Psalm 15. Psalm 15 in connection with Lord's Day 43. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. That far we read. In God's holy, inspired word, let's in connection with Lord's Day 43, we read Psalm 15, verses 2 and 3, speaking of the man who abides in God's tabernacle, who dwells in his holy hill. Who is that man? Verse 2 says, he that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. It's in connection with that psalm that we treat the truth of the Catechism in Lord's Day 43. Question and answer 112 about the ninth commandment. We read that. Question and answer 112. What is required in the ninth commandment? That I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter, nor slanderer, that I do not judge, nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also, that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, when we love the God of truth, we will speak the truth to our neighbor, and we will speak the truth about our neighbor. You can't separate those two. When we love God, we will also love our neighbor. True love for our neighbor always flows out of a love for God. And so, according to that principle, when we love the God who rules over us. We will love our neighbor whom God has placed over us. And we will love our neighbor whom God has placed under us, according to the fifth commandment. When we love the God who gives us life, we will love our neighbor as regards his life. Not only avoiding harming him, but seeking his good, even the good of our enemies. When we love the God who is faithful to his covenant, we will love our nearest neighbor in the covenant of marriage. When we love the God who owns all things, as stewards, we will love our neighbor as regards those things that God gives to us, promoting the advantage of our neighbor in every instance that we can or may. And now also as regards the ninth commandment, when we love the God who loves the truth, when we love the God who is truth in himself, we will speak the truth out of love for God and out of love for our neighbor. Psalm 15 describes the man who loves God. It doesn't use the word love in there, but it describes the man who loves God and has covenant fellowship with God. How does it describe that man who loves God? Well, he walks uprightly, according to verse 2, applying himself with sincerity of heart to walk in God's ways. Not only that, he works righteousness. He applies himself to do good to his neighbor. But he also speaks the truth. And the rest of the psalm has, again and again, references to the right speaking of the truth, or the right use of the tongue. How important is speaking the truth in the life of God's people? When you and I, beloved, love the God of truth, we will keep the ninth commandment. And to keep the ninth commandment, I remind you, to keep means that we regard the ninth commandment. We regard all the commandments. We regard the ninth commandment. We desire to obey God as he commands us. We strive to obey him as regards the use of our tongues. So let's consider that commandment of Scripture under this theme then, speaking the truth in our hearts. Taking our theme from Psalm 15, speaking the truth in our hearts. Let's note, in the first place, that involves loving the truth. And secondly, hating the lie. You can't have one without the other. And then lastly, abiding in God's tabernacle. Speaking the truth in our hearts. I say it again, beloved, when we love the God of truth, we cannot help but love the truth itself. David expresses his love for God in this psalm. He expresses his love for God when he asks the question, "Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill?" The idea of the tabernacle is, in the Old Testament, the place where God set up his tent. A tabernacle is a tent. God set his tent in the midst of Israel as a picture of his covenant fellowship with his people. To abide in that tabernacle, the idea of abiding is the idea of sojourning in a place where you don't necessarily deserve to be. David wants to abide in God's presence, though he does not deserve to be in God's presence. He delights to be in God's presence. The tabernacle is the place of covenant fellowship with God. And that's the same idea of God's holy hill. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? A reference to Jerusalem, built a place, his tabernacle, where God said to his people, I will dwell there. That's where David wants to dwell. David's questions, really one question, expressed in two different lines. David's questions at the beginning of Psalm 15 express his love for God. His great desire to fellowship with God and dwell with God in the place where God said he would be. Because he loved God. David was a man after God's own heart, Scripture says. Because God had saved David. God had graciously come to David. So that David, in his God-given faith, saw God's goodness towards him. God had abundantly blessed David, even made David to be king over his people Israel. And now David loved God. David loved God because God first loved David. Truth in himself, and therefore he is true in his word. And all truth has its source and foundation in God Himself. What did Jesus say about Himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. If we love the God of truth, beloved, who keeps His word, we will also love His truth. We will love that truth in our hearts. We will love and dwell on whatsoever things are true. That's the result of God's gracious work in our hearts. We will love the truth that God reveals. We will love what He tells us in His Word. We will love not only to hear of our misery, we will love the truth as it reveals to us miserable sinners, especially God's mercy to us in Jesus Christ, who is the truth. Love for God equals love for the truth. Cannot separate those two. Truth in the absolute sense. But now don't imagine, beloved, that love simply stays in our hearts. No, when you and I love the truth, when we love that truth in our hearts, we will also speak the truth. David says in the Psalm about the godly man who speaketh the truth in his heart. If you and I speak the truth to ourselves in our hearts, and we love the truth, there will be an agreement between our hearts and our words. There will be an agreement with what we think in our souls and what we speak. The godly man loves the truth. But that love for the truth manifests itself. How does that affect the words that the godly man speaks? Well, verse 4 tells us about this godly man. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. The godly man uses his mouth to defend the honor and good estimation of his neighbor whenever he is able. Not only does he defend the good name of his neighbor when somebody tries to defame that neighbor, the godly man also promotes the honor and good estimation of his neighbor as much as he can and may. Beloved, God calls you and me to defend and promote as much as we are able the honor and good estimation of our neighbor. Now, of course, if someone deliberately attacks the truth of God's word, we're not going to defend their honor and their good estimation in that regard. But neither is that an excuse to slander the name of our neighbor with false accusations where we don't have proof. God calls us to defend and promote as much as we are able the honor and good estimation of our neighbor. Especially, who are those who cross our paths most frequently? Especially those with whom we fellowship. Especially those who fear the Lord. That's what David says. He honoreth them that fear the Lord. That's part of the ninth commandment. Not bearing false witness, but then on the other side, honoring them that fear the Lord. Now, beloved, those who fear the Lord might not always have the same opinions as we have. We might not agree with their policies. We might not even, when we think about what they are doing, we might think they aren't nearly as wise as we are. They don't see things as we see things. But if they fear the Lord, God calls us to honor them. Give to them a certain weightiness. That's the idea of giving honor. Give them weight in our hearts. The fact that they are brothers and sisters in Christ should carry far more weight than our disagreements with them. Honor them that fear the Lord. And we see that, beloved. We have disagreements in our families, in the congregation, in the denomination. But if we don't have proof that someone deliberately is hating God and subverting God's truth, then God calls us to use our words to honor them that fear the Lord. Catechism uses that same idea when it says that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character, that is, the good estimation, the good name, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Love for the truth manifests itself in the way we honor those, especially who love the Lord. Not only that, when we love the truth, beloved, that will manifest itself when we keep our word. Even though keeping our word results in harm to ourselves, the godly man of Psalm 15, who is a man who sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. That takes a certain amount of fortitude. But the godly man of Psalm 15 would rather suffer his own hurt than to change his word. When we love the truth, we will tell the truth. Children, when you love the truth, those who are in school, when you love the truth, you will tell the truth on your exams. Making sure that taking of that exam represents your own knowledge of the subject, so you don't look over at your neighbor and see his answer and copy his answer. That's not telling the truth. The exam that you take is saying, this is my knowledge of the subject, and to copy someone's answer is to tell a lie. If you love the truth, children, you would rather get the bad grade than to get a false grade that doesn't reflect the knowledge you truly have. Loving the truth. What a practical thing. When I go to sell one of my cars, I don't pretend that there's nothing wrong with this car. If I know the car has a blown head gasket, it may not show itself. I tell the potential buyer, though it is to my own hurt, though I don't get the price that I really want for it, because I have told the truth. Loving the truth. When I love the God of truth and I love the truth, means that when I swear to remain faithful in the covenant bond of marriage, when I vow before God and His people till death do us part, then I do that. Stay faithful. Even if that turns out to be difficult, and every marriage, beloved, has its difficulties, love for the truth means I want to tell the truth. When I swear to submit to church government in my confession of faith, even when I don't like a decision of consistory or classis or synod, I want to tell the truth. And then I don't rebel. I go the way, the orderly way. If I disagree, I go the orderly way of protest and appeal. Because that's the way of love. That's the way of truth. If we love the truth, we will tell the truth. It's always easy to find an excuse, is it not? Find an excuse to break our word, especially when things don't go our way. When we love the God of truth, and we love the truth itself, we will manifest that by speaking the truth, by uprightly speaking that truth, and confessing the truth. Confessing the truth of the gospel, though that may also be to my hurt. Persecution arises. I say, this is the truth of God's word. And I may not leave it. But it makes sense that if we love the truth, we will also hate the lie. You can't have a love for the truth and then be neutral as regards the lie. If we love the truth, we will hate all falsehood. David expresses that. When he talks about the godly man in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. A vile person literally is a person who is despised and rejected. That is, this vile person is despised and rejected by God. Why does God reject that vile person? Because that person has rejected God. That person has rejected God's truth. That vile person is the man who lives the lie that says, I'm the one who is the standard of truth and falsehood. I'm the one who determines what is right for my life. And God is not going to tell me how I am going to live. The vile person hates God and rejects His truth. Now, in the eyes of the godly man, such a vile person is contemned. Such a vile person, that is despised. We despise that vile person just like the psalmist does. In Psalm 139, he says, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? And am not I grieved for those that rise up against Thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. There's a righteous hatred. There's a righteous despising of that vile person. We see examples of that kind of vile person in the government. People who hate God's truth and seek to pass laws that will go against God's people. When you and I, beloved, love the God of truth, we will hate the lie. And we will hate the vile person who promotes, who actively promotes the lie and who actively rejects God's truth. Think of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts chapter 5 reveals that they were vile people. When they lied about the amount they sold their house for. The problem, of course, was not that they kept back part of the amount for themselves. The problem is they lied to the Holy Spirit. They did not love the God of truth. They didn't care what God thought about their lie. That was far from their minds. All they could think about was serving themselves with that lie. How can we get recognition for ourselves without giving too much of our money? Peter was angry with a righteous anger, and he says to them, Why hath Satan filled thy heart to lie against the Holy Ghost? The seriousness of their sin is shown by the fact that God struck both Ananias and Sapphira dead. They loved their self-serving lie. And beloved, that's us by nature. The way we are born in Adam. Apart from the grace of Jesus Christ, all we can do is love the lie. Adam and Eve listened to the devil's lie in the garden. And now everyone who is born in the line of Adam inherits that depravity of nature. And so that old man, that old depraved nature, hears the temptations of the devil. When the devil says, the way of rebellion is the way of happiness, and our old man believes him and follows that way. But when God, through Jesus Christ, delivers us from our bondage to sin and to Satan, He gives us new life. He pours His love into our hearts and He works in us, sanctifies us so that we begin to love the truth and to hate all falsehood. We never would do that apart from the grace of God. Now that too, beloved, that attitude in our hearts, that hatred of the lie, will manifest itself. And David mentions a number of ways in which that hatred of the lie manifests itself in the life of God's people. Psalm 15, verse 3, this godly man backbiteth not with his tongue. Backbiting, that word in the Hebrew comes from a word that actually means to walk around, to bear around, that is, to bear a tale, to carry from one place to another a tale about someone else that hurts them. Spreading stories that hurt others. Even if those stories are true, backbiting is calculated to hurt our neighbor. And then, though you could say, I'm telling the truth, in fact, that's serving the lie. Backbiting is serving the lie. Because it hurts the brother's good name. We sin against that brother by not going directly to them. Instead of telling the story about them to someone else, we ought to go to them and speak to them. How is that promoting the lie? Because I'm not defending. Nor am I promoting the good estimation of my neighbor. A godly man will hate the sin of backbiting. And that sin happens in the church, beloved. That sin happens in your life and mine. We all are guilty of backbiting. But secondly, David goes on to say that when we love the truth, when we hate the lie, we will do no evil to our neighbor. Now that can be taken in a broad sense, yes. But we can do a lot of evil when we judge our neighbor rashly. When we fail to speak uprightly about our neighbor. How often have we not done that? Judged rashly or unheard. Judged a person's character without even hearing their side of the story. Well, what I heard about him from somebody else. I know the story already. Well, how do you know? Have you spoken to that person about whom you heard those things? How often have we spoken slanderous or backbiting words against brothers and sisters in the Church of Jesus Christ? The godly man will do no evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, reproaching our neighbor is the opposite of seeking his honor. Instead of seeking to promote and defend the good name of our neighbor, to reproach him is to seek to defame him, to take up that reproach is to receive that report. You know, beloved, it's been said that the tale bearer lends his tongue to the devil. I know I've quoted this before, but it's worth quoting again. The talebearer lends his tongue to the devil. The tale hearer, the one who receives that reproachful report, he lends his ear to the devil. And then verse 5 adds two more examples how our love for the truth and our hatred of the lie will manifest itself. Psalm 15, verse 5, he putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh a reward against the innocent. Usury certainly fits with stealing, but it's also a form of dishonesty used to steal from the needy. And taking up a reward against the innocent is accepting a bribe in exchange for proclaiming a lie. So that someone is condemned. Taking a bribe against the innocent is just the opposite of swearing to one's own hurt. Taking a bribe against the innocent seeks our own gain at the expense of the truth and at the expense of our neighbor. Swearing to one's own hurt means we accept our own hurt for the sake of the truth and for the sake of our neighbor. When God works in us, beloved, to love Him and to love the truth, more and more we will hate all forms of falsehood and we will flee from them. We will manifest that hatred in our words and in our works. Everyone who loves God, the God of truth, everyone who loves God's truth and who therefore hates the lie will abide in God's tabernacle. That's what the inspired psalmist says, beloved, when he asked the questions of verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then he answers in the rest of the psalm. Now let's be careful, beloved, that we do not imagine that our speaking of the truth and condemning the lie is the way into God's tabernacle. David's not laying out for us here in this psalm a way for us to save ourselves, as if to say, you do these things and then you will get into the door. Then you will be able to go into God's tabernacle. Then you will have earned your place in God's presence. David's not saying that. Rather, he's teaching us the characteristics of those who are God's children. The question is not, Lord, who shall one day come into thy tabernacle by his good works? That's not his question. But more along these lines, Lord, who is abiding? That entity in the Hebrew language is the imperfect that talks about an ongoing reality. Lord, who is abiding and whoever will abide in thy tabernacle? Lord, what does that man look like who has covenant fellowship with thee? And he answers that question. What does the child of God look like? When God does a work of grace in his heart, like this. He walks uprightly. He works righteousness. He speaks the truth in his heart. The man in whom God works that work of grace will have a regard for all of God's commandments. When God does that work of grace, beloved, we begin to love the truth and to hate the lie. I say we begin because we only have a small beginning, but we do begin, and more we love the truth and hate the lie. When we see, beloved, that work of grace, we love the truth all the more. Because we did not earn that work of grace. Christ paid for that work of grace by all his words and works. By going to the cross. Even though we don't deserve that fellowship, and that's implied in that abiding, Lord, who shall abide? The idea is of sojourning there as one who does not deserve to be there. Yet, God brings us into that fellowship anyway. For Christ's sake. Because He walked uprightly all the days of His life. He worked righteousness. He spoke the truth in His heart. He never slandered with His tongue. Never took up an evil reproach against His neighbor. He swore to His own hurt. And He never changed. Went to the cross as God's anointed. He did not deny, but He affirmed that He was God's anointed King. Who will abide in God's tabernacle? Everyone whom Christ has purchased by His death on the cross. How do we know? How do we know that we are those? Because we see the fruits of the Spirit of Christ in our lives. By God's grace, we begin to look like Christ as He forms us in His image. And thanks be to God, beloved, that everyone whom God takes into fellowship with Himself will never be moved. That's what David says. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. That is to say, he will never slip away from that life which God has given to him, that godly man. The wicked, on the other hand, God sets them in slippery places. They will slip. They will fall into the fires of hell. But those who love the truth, and those who hate the lie, God has gathered them to Himself. And He holds us. Just as God has takes us into fellowship with Himself, He holds us in that fellowship with Himself. And we will never be moved. Yes, by ourselves. If God removed His grace, which He will never do. But if He removed His grace, we would slip away in a moment. In our own strength, we could not stand, but we will never slip away because Christ holds us in His right hand. And He tells the truth. He tells us that in His Word, and that Word is true. And the implied calling, beloved, for each and every one of us then is to love the truth and hate the lie. Walk as those who have been taken into covenant fellowship. Walk as those who abide in God's tabernacle. And trust that He will keep you so that you will never be moved. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee. Thou art a God of truth. And that Thou wilt not change. Thank Thee that it is impossible for Thee to change, that Thou wilt always be a God of truth. that it could not be otherwise. We thank Thee that Thou art true to all Thy promises to keep us, to save us to the uttermost for Christ's sake. Grant, O Lord, that we may walk then in thankfulness. We confess that we have failed. Forgive us when we have followed after the lie, and lead us in the truth for Thy name's sake. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.